Will you please stand with me this morning? I'm going to read a short passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Because of our faith, we stand in a place of grace with God, a God that saved us, even though we could offer him nothing. And that is an amazing, amazing thing. And that is the God that we are going to worship this morning. Amen? Amen. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you, God, that even though we had nothing to give you, you still chose to redeem us so that we could have a relationship with you. And Lord, as we come into this place, I pray that we would lift your name on high and that we would remember every good thing that you have done in our lives, Lord. And Lord, as we listen to your word this morning, the words that you have given Pastor Henry, I pray that our hearts would be open to receive what you have. I pray that your word would fall on the fertile soil of our hearts. And Lord, we pray against the enemy coming and stealing the word that you are going to plant this morning. Let it grow and reap a harvest, Lord, and let us take what we hear and apply it to our lives. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sunday that we get to gather and worship you today, God. I pray that we would remember those words today, God, that you are the only one who can do these things in our life, Lord, and that you would just put a special anointing over the message today, God, and that everyone who's here would just have an open heart and open ears for what you have for them today, Lord, and those who couldn't join us in person but want to, Lord, bless them in their home and pray the same anointing over the message for them this morning, God. I just pray that you would be with us in the rest of this Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray.
I was going to say happy birthday, Keegan, and pretty soon you'll be joining us at the Young at Heart. Right, Ron? It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I have a praise report. I was successfully able to navigate the texting option of giving. Yeah, it scared the daylights out of me, but I think it worked. I hope it did. We're going to prepare for our time of communion this morning. We switched the order a little bit for those of you that are used to things staying like they are, like me. Every now and then we switch it up. We're going to read a portion of Scripture, and when we're done with the reading and it's time to serve yourself communion, we have it set up on two sides. Please remember to observe proper social distancing as you go to serve yourself. I mean, if you're together as a family, that's fine, because you all live together. And those of you watching, the thousands of you watching this morning, we invite you to join us. Also grab a cracker or a piece of bread and some juice of any kind or some water if that's all you have, and we can participate in this together. Okay? And please hold on to them, and we will participate at the same time. I'm going to read a short passage from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 11. And we're going to start at verse 23 and then at verse 26. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. This is a time where we not only identify and proclaim with Jesus in his life, his suffering, and his death, but we proclaim our allegiance to him by coming in obedience to what he established while he still walked this earth. Amen? And even more importantly, we identify ourselves with his resurrection, because we know this story didn't end with his death. And it's because of his resurrection that we can boldly stand this morning and proclaim our faith in him. Because by his resurrection, he won the victory once and for all. When he spoke those words on the cross, said, "It is finished." Once and for all. No longer do we have to sacrifice animals for a temporary reprieve. No, no, no. His blood has paid the price once and for all. It is finished. It is done. So all we got to do is avail ourselves of what he has already done. There's nothing we need to do again except accept his free gift. Amen? Amen. You may. Kind of cruel to have to follow that. Nothing but the blood. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we come this morning to partake of this representation of your broken body and your shed blood, we come, Lord, with renewed assurance that you've already won the victory. And Lord, as we come this morning, may we come just as we are, boldly approaching your throne of grace where we may obtain mercy. Have mercy upon us this morning, Lord. Cleanse us. Restore us, renew us, rejuvenate us, strengthen us, encourage us, and Lord, remind us of just who we are in you and what you've already done for us. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture says, on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the bread. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is my blood in the new covenant. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let us partake of the cup. Okay, now we're just going to roll right into the word. Sorry you get to see me a long time this morning. Has already been prayed for several times, so we're just going to jump right in. We're going to read our scripture this morning is from the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. And we're going to start at verse 1 and end at verse 6. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. This is a portion of scripture that many, if not most of us, are familiar with. We've heard it many times. We've heard probably many messages preached from it. In it, we read about the famous account of Moses and the burning bush. While most of us will not probably encounter a burning bush in our lifetimes, I think there is a message, something all of us can glean from this passage. So based upon the reading of that passage, we will meditate, I think I'll use a word briefly, on the topic, stop, look, listen, act. Stop, look, listen, act. We live in a busy world with nonstop action and activity. I think we all would agree with that. We are busy working, commuting, cleaning, cooking, and these are in no order of importance. Are just words I'm using, so nobody please take offense. Going through the drive-through, shopping, Snapchatting, Facebooking, Instagramming, TikToking, exercising, visiting, chatting, churching, eating, and the list goes on and on, one activity to another. So we're always doing something. And because we live in such a busy world, we think that busyness is unique to this generation that we live in. But the scripture we just read said that Moses was also busy in his day, right? He was not just sitting twiddling his thumbs and waiting for something to happen. No, no, no. The passage tells us he was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. He was tending a flock. So whether it didn't tell us what the flock was, but we know that it was probably sheep. Those were popular animals in that day and age. Or maybe it was goats. But whether sheep or goats, we know that tending a flock is a busy and involved task that required his complete attention and devotion. A lot of the scriptures, when they talk about people, they compare us to sheep. Sheep are not the brightest animals. Sorry to say. So they require a lot of attention because they can't think for themselves. They have to be led, where to eat, where to drink, how to keep them safe from predators, so on and so forth. So it was a busy time for the man Moses, as we read about this encounter in the scripture. So he would have had a good excuse not to notice or pay attention to anything else but the welfare of the animals placed within his charge. Just like today, we have one thing to another, and a lot of us make excuses why we can't find time, why we can't slow down, why we can't stop, why we just have to be on the mission for one thing to another, and don't even find time to make time to meet and have an encounter with God. I've read this passage many times, but something jumped out at me. Can anybody hear my phone buzzing in my pocket? I hope not. The passage tells us that he led the flock to the back of the desert. And I thought that was interesting, because the picture that comes to my mind when I read that is that he left the most desirable areas. He left the place where everybody else would want to be, where everybody else would want to gather. He left the place where it would be easy. And he went to the back of the desert. He left the well-worn path. And the picture that comes to my mind is that he went to a more desolate, a more of a wilderness area. Now, we don't know why. This tells me that some good things can happen when you're in the back. Amen? When you're in the midst of the wilderness, still trying to tend to your business. Some good things can happen sometimes to us when we leave the well-traveled paths where everybody else is. Because the scripture says that wide and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the path that leads to eternal life. So sometimes when we're going through stuff, when we're going through what I would consider a wilderness experience, when things are happening that we can't explain, sometimes of our own making, sometimes not. That it is in those times that there are opportunities for us to have what I would call a divine encounter with God. Are you with me this morning? He left the well-worn path, and the scripture just says he went to the back of the desert. So that's where he was when he had this divine encounter with God. Notice also the passage says that Moses came to Horeb, the mountain of God, as he was leading the flock to the back of the desert. It tells me that it was not intentional. That was not his destination. He didn't have this encounter in mind. He was just going about his business of life, doing what he was doing and tending to his sheep. He was not looking for God at this time or looking to encounter him. But what else does it tell us? That God was already there. He was already present and waiting. You see, God is everywhere, right? God is omnipresent. So in order, and I want you to catch this, in order to have that divine encounter with Him, we are the ones that need to put ourselves in the position to make that encounter happen. Amen? He's everywhere. For those of you that play sports, I remember when we first came to this country, I was watching football one time with a friend of ours, and I told him what a dumb game I thought it was. And he told me, he said, "You say that because you don't understand the game." And that turned out to be true. I still don't understand a lot of it. I still got to ask my kids. But it's an incredibly complex game. And each play is designed that in order to make things happen, people have to run certain routes and be in certain places at certain times. So God is omnipresent. He was already present at the Mount Horeb when Moses found his way into his presence. Amen? Amen. So we have to put ourselves in a position to do that. And how do we do that? We start with this stop. The scripture tells us that the angel of the Lord was in the flame of fire in the midst of the bush. Okay? So the angel was in the flame. The flame was burning. Moses was minding his business, doing his thing. And I'm not sure of how unusual the sight of a bush burning was. It's pretty hot in the desert. I think it would be, you know, pretty common for things to burn where it's that hot. We know that one of our big things on this side of the state or this side of the country is wildfires. As soon as it gets hot, things start burning. But in order to see it, he had to stop. Now, stopping is a hard thing, I admit. Even me, I find it hard to stop sometimes at the red lights. But I obey it because I have no extra money for the government. So I stop. But Moses stopped in order to get a good look. We have to stop. Most of us want to look without stopping. Most of us want to look without even slowing down. That is not a look. That's a passing glance. And we don't get anything. We don't learn anything. We don't gain anything. We don't accomplish anything with just a passing glance. No, no, no. He had to stop. What's going on here? Maybe it was just pure curiosity. But we never know what's going to happen. We never know what the outcome will be until we take time to stop. Until we take time to stop. What else does the passage tell us? Verse 2. So he looked. We come to the look. And behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. So first he stopped, then he dug a little deeper. He looked. A lot of times we pick up the word of God and we just give it a passing glance. It's just words on a page. Oh, we say we're going to read the Bible in a year, so we just read it like we're reading a John Grisham novel. We never stop. And God forbid, we never look deeper. Look beyond the surface. Look beyond the phenomenon that we're looking at. But the passage says that Moses looked in the direction of the bush that was burning. He must have looked for more than a casual second in order to notice that although the bush was burning, it was not being consumed by the fire. So this tells me it was more than a passing glance. It was actually an intent look. I want to see what is happening here. Sometimes we have to stop completely and look intently and look with purpose. That's key. We're not just looking because we got nothing better to do. But we're looking with a purpose that maybe there's something here that I can learn. There's something here that I can pick up and apply to my life. There's something here that may be a blessing to somebody else, even if not to me. And lo and behold, God just might be in this thing. And I could have a divine encounter with him. The passage doesn't tell us that's what was on Moses' mind. He was just minding his business and saw something that he thought looked interesting. But it didn't stop there. What else did he do? Verse 3. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn. Turn. There's another level of looking. The passage tells us that just looking, even looking intently, was not enough for Moses. So he said, I will turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And we notice here that it was only after Moses turned that God saw, the passage tells us, God saw that he had turned, and it was only then that God spoke to him out of the burning bush. You see, too often God can't speak to us because not only don't we stop, we don't look, and then we don't turn. Turning shows that that there's something that we see that we can't understand, that we can't explain. And maybe, just maybe, God is in it. He wants to tell us something. He wants to do something in us. He wants to do something through us that will be a blessing to somebody else. But we got to turn. The passage said Moses turned. And it was only after he turned that God spoke. So stopping is good, looking is good, but it's only when we turn and look towards God that we can encounter him in the fullness of his glory. Because why? At that time, he has our undivided attention and awe. We know this happened because the passage tells us that Moses, in verse 6, that Moses had to hide his face because of the awesome presence and glory of God. But turning was not the end of the encounter. It was just the beginning. And God began to speak. We're not going to read all that part, but God began to speak to Moses and tell him and point him towards his destiny. God began to tell him things that he must do and things that will happen in the future because of what he was telling him to do. God began to point Moses towards his destiny and began to tell him what God wanted him to do as the vessel that God had chosen to bring deliverance to his people. Between verse 7 of Exodus chapter number 3 and verse 19 of Exodus chapter 4, there is an interesting ongoing dialogue between God and Moses. God told Moses what he needed to do, and Moses made several excuses about why he didn't think. Well, let's go through the excuses. Who am I that I should do this? And God told him why he wanted him, why he was the person. He said, suppose they ask me who sent them, who sent me, who should I say sent me? And God told him, tell them that I am sent you, because I am the I am that I am. He asked God again, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. And God told him, what do you have in your hand? And he had his rod, and he cast it down. It became a serpent, and he told him to pick it up, and it became a rod again. He put his hand in his bosom. It became leprous. He put it back. It was clean again. So God quashed all those excuses. Then he changed tactic, and he said, but I'm not eloquent. God answered that one. He said, I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. God answered that one. And then he finally became bold enough, I guess, to tell God, you know, I'm not the right person. Send someone else. And the scripture says God got pissed at that point. That's not what the scripture said. The scripture said God was angry. Yes, and so a lot of, and I bring this out to say that a lot of times between the turn, the stop, the look, the turn, and the act, there can be a little bit of a struggle. And it's not just as smooth as sometimes we want it to be. You know why? Because we have an enemy who wants nothing more or nothing better than to keep us from fulfilling the purpose of God in our life. I always tell people, if everything is so hunky-dory and you're having no problems, especially in your walk with God, it might be right around the corner or something is awry. Because it was promised that we will suffer persecution if we stand for Him. But the minute we have that encounter with God where He tells us what He has for us and what He wants us to do, some of us, it happens from the time we profess Jesus as Lord and Savior of our lives. The enemy goes into overdrive and begins to plant doubt and resistance and everything, every trick in the book that will keep us from fulfilling the destiny that God has for us. And it helps me to see that even these great men that we read about in the Bible had struggles and had issues, had stuff they had to deal with. Moses struggled and went back and forth arguing with God. But he still got to the point where he acted. And that's where we come to the act. The whole encounter would have been in vain if Moses had never reached the point where he took action on what God had commanded him. Stopping, looking, turning are all good, but they accomplish nothing, absolutely nothing, if we don't act on that revelation, that command, that instruction, that encounter with God. Exodus chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. So Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, "Please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see whether they are still alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead." Verse 20, then Moses took his wife and his sons and set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. It was difficult. He resisted. He tried to make excuses. He tried to tell God, "It's not me, I'm the wrong person, send somebody else." Does that ring a bell in any of our ears? Have we ever been told by God and through His Spirit, "Go pray for that person. Call that person on the phone"? It may not be anything as dramatic as going to lead a nation out of captivity. Just pick up the phone and call somebody. They need that call at this time today. How many times have we found an excuse not to do it? "Oh, I'll do it as soon as I get done with this." Or, "I'm sure somebody else will call them today." We all have reasons and excuses and justifications why we're not obedient, even when we encounter a command from God. I'll have the worship team come up. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God has not changed. Every reason we can give, he's already taught about. And the reason that he would command us to do something is that he already knows that we're capable of doing it. Yeah, he already knows that we're capable of doing it. After all, he made us. Duh. He made us. Sometimes we forget. He will not give us an assignment without giving us what we need to accomplish that assignment. But you see, we now want to know the end from the beginning. Only God knows the end from the beginning. Right? God told Abraham, get up and go. The scripture doesn't tell us. Abraham asks him where. How am I going to get there? How am I going to eat while I'm on the journey? No. The scripture says he got up and he did what? He went. We still have excuses. God is still speaking to his people even today. He has stuff that he's purpose that each and every one of us will accomplish and should accomplish and must accomplish. It's up to us to first of all put ourselves in a position to hear from him. But then even more importantly, once we've encountered him and he's spoken to us, whether it's through a person, whether it's through his spirit, whether it's through his word, to put that into action. But it's only when we act upon God's word that his people are blessed. Thank you. Nothing compares to the promise we have. God is still on the throne. God is still speaking to hearts today, even as we speak here. He's in the people blessing business. Amen? God is in the people blessing business. And he uses people to bless his people, even as he used Moses as a vessel to bring deliverance to his people out of slavery in Egypt. He's using us today to bring people out of slavery to sin and death, out of slavery to sickness, out of slavery to discouragement, out of slavery to broken relationships. God is still in the people blessing business. So I encourage you this morning, stop. Look a little deeper. Turn towards him. And then act on what he tells you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, O Lord, that you're a God that does not change. So we come this morning, Lord, asking for your leading, asking for your guidance, asking to help us, Lord, to not only slow down sometimes, but sometimes to stop, pick up your word, look deeper into your word, turn to you in meditation and in prayer. And listen to the still, small voice of your Holy Spirit. And then act on what you tell us, Lord. God, it's only when we act that your purposes are accomplished. We pray for everyone this morning that is sick under the sound of my voice, Lord. Touch bodies, touch hearts, touch minds, and heal this morning in Jesus' name. Whatever it is, you know it, Lord. So just touch your people this morning and heal them. Encourage somebody this morning who may be in despair. Restore somebody's joy, renew somebody's hope this morning. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we speak victory in every battle that we will face, even this week, Lord, because we know they will come. But we depend on you and your power, your resurrection power that lives in us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Dismiss us now with your blessing. May your sweet Holy Spirit continually abide with us and in us until we meet again. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.